I'm Ken Zombly, and this is Performing Arts Gallery. Regional historical author John E. Holwis will be signing his newest book on local history. The book is entitled Here to Stay, and he'll be signing it at New Copperfield's Book Service tomorrow morning and afternoon from 10 until 3, though there will be an hour break for lunch at the noon hour. Here to Stay is involved in looking at the lives of past residents interred in Macomb's Oakwood Cemetery. It gives a unique perspective of the area's history and is illustrated with photographs collected by archivist Kathy Nichols. Holwis has written more than a dozen books and countless articles on the history and literature of the region, including The Bootlegger and dime novel Desperados. And his edition of Edgar Lee Masters' Spoon River Anthology, another book about interesting people in a regional cemetery, is one of the most widely read versions of that book. John Holwis signing his newest book, Here to Stay, at New Copperfield's Book Service on the Macomb Square, tomorrow from 10 until 3. This coming Thursday, the Dead Filmmakers Society Summer Film Series continues in the Sandberg Theater in the Western Illinois University Student Union. This week's film will be Strange Invaders. This 1983 film is a throwback to the science fiction films of the 1950s. It's set in a small Midwestern town that seems to be stuck in the Eisenhower era, but it's actually the headquarters for a group of aliens preparing for an invasion. Featuring a cast of familiar character actors, including Louise Fletcher, Wallace Shawn, and June Lockhart. And keep an eye out for Macomb on a brief shot of a map as the hero drives across Illinois. Strange Invaders is the film of this week's presentation of the Dead Filmmaker Society. That's Thursday evening, July 5th. At the Sandberg Theater in the Western Illinois University Union. There is no admission charge. The show begins at 7 o'clock. All screenings are 16mm films from the collection of Western Illinois film professor Richard Ness, who also serves as host. It's sponsored by the WIU Department of Broadcasting. A few more film events to point out in the region this weekend. Lights, Camera, Action will be presenting The Jungle Book this weekend, that is tonight and tomorrow and Sunday, at the Old Fort Players Playhouse at 725 Avenue G in Fort Madison. Classic family movies are presented at no charge at the Old Fort Players Theater. Popcorn, soda, snacks, and candy concessions are available. Showtimes are at 2 and 6:30 today, 2 and 6:30 tomorrow, and at 2 in the afternoon on Sunday. Lights, Camera, Action is a nonprofit group determined to bring family-friendly movies back to the Fort Madison community. A $2 suggested donation helps to pay for the next movie showing. The Jungle Book is this weekend's film. And then on Sunday in Burlington, it's time for the 5 and V Downtown Cinema at 5th Street and Valley Street. It's a fun way to spend a summer evening with friends and family at downtown Burlington's outdoor theater, where movies are shown on the side of Drake Hardware and Software on selected evenings. The movies start at dusk. You can come down early for games and activities. This week's screening is Little Big League. That's roughly at 7 o'clock, and it is free and open to the public. The 5 and V Downtown Cinema at 5th Street and Valley Streets in Burlington. And a week from Sunday in Rushville, the Rushville Community Band will perform in the newly restored Rushville Central Park in the old bandstand. That will be at 7 o'clock that evening. It's free and open to the public. This past spring, the McDonough Choral Society celebrated its 10th anniversary in a grand way, by commissioning and then performing a brand new work for chorus and instruments about the history of our region. Songs of Freedom, Hope, and Destiny was the work, composed by Dr. Randall Faust of the Western Illinois University faculty. Before the performance this past April, we had a chance to talk with Dr. Faust and with McDonough Choral Society Director Susan Shoemaker. Susan, 10 years of the Choral Society.
How about that?
Did you think you'd be still here 10 years later doing...
I don't think I even thought about it. Or that John and I even thought about it. We just got ourselves started and away we went. Hardly seems like 10 years.
And now at the point where, with an anniversary, you're not only performing great works of the past, but now you're starting to commission your own new works for the Society.
Yes, it's really very exciting for the Choral Society. The chorus, I think, has really gotten themselves involved in the work, which is a very interesting work that Dr. Faust has created. And the excitement is there for all of them of doing something for the first time that nobody else has ever heard.
And that is always exciting. Literally, this is a work that has not yet been heard in public. And it's a very, well, regional.
It is very regional, and Randy can tell you more about that because he's the one who found the literature and then created the music around the text.
Yes. Well, I have to thank Susan because she directed me in the direction of John Hollis, and I had some conversations with him as well, too. And, of course, he is probably the historian of this region, having written books on the history of Macomb and in the history of WIU and written about a lot of the authors from this area. And being this is a historic occasion, the 10th anniversary of the Choral Society, I find it very interesting also. I sort of think of this as the historic district of Illinois. You know, of course, there's been a lot of talk about Lincoln and the new Lincoln Museum down in Springfield. But, of course, they've had the historic reconstruction around New Salem for years. People know about Mark Twain over in Hannibal and the Carl Sandburg birthplace up in Galesburg, and we're right in the middle of all that. Dr. Hollis has gotten into this in a much deeper fashion, and in this one book of his, Illinois Literature, the 19th Century, he has a lot of those authors as well as others, some of whom that you might not have heard of. There are poems, there are short stories, there are excerpts from some of the speeches of Abraham Lincoln, for example. It's a rich mine of literature there, and an insight into the history of this area. You find that they're very universal and hold true today, some of the thoughts that are contained therein.
Was there any one of the texts that just immediately jumped out at you and sort of took over the page?
Oh, several of them. Basically, the ones that ended up in the piece. This one poem by Eliza Snow called Let Us Go. She talks about going to the land where we can be free, where we will not be oppressed. She writes from the perspective of someone who lived in the Nauvoo in the early part of the 19th century, having lived earlier in Ohio and Missouri, and this was sort of a promised land for a while. And the words that she uses were very appropriate to her own particular experience, but you could associate them with people from all sorts of various sociological groups, even today. And it's a wonderful text. There's a very humorous text from this story called The Immigrant's Guide to the Western States by John Reagan, and there's this chorus that we have there called The Qualities of a Good Cow. It is the funniest little tale of how people would barter back in the 19th century. I'll try to do the short version here. But after the farmer and the person who's trying to get payment, discuss it. He's going over the qualities of a good cow in his mind. And it's an interesting slice of life in rural Illinois from the 19th century.
Susan,
William Cullen Bryant's The Prairies and The Hunter of the Prairies, epic sort of poems in a way, talking about this wonderful vastness that we see here. One of the lines in there, "These are the prairies, floor of the magnificent temple of the sky." John Howard Bryant was a newspaper man. He lived, first of all, in Jacksonville, and later on in Princeton. So right around us here. He was also a very active abolitionist. One of the poems, "Bold Champions of the Poor, Our Thorny Road Before Thee Lies." You know, I mean, he's talking about what we have coming up if we're going to overturn this system of slavery. He's talking from that perspective. Very idealistic. "Lo, the day dawns upon our eastern shore. Soon shall the night of prejudice be o'er. In giving freedom to the slaves, we give freedom to the free. We shall not escape history." And of course, that last line is from Lincoln's address. But the juxtaposition of the thought of those people shows up quite a bit. With guys like John Howard Bryant talking to him, see why Lincoln was the way he was. We often hear about Lincoln, but often don't hear about the other people who were his contemporaries. We're very aware maybe of the commentators on the political scene who influenced the thought of our current politicians, but they had them back then too. And instead of talking on the radio or television or through the internet, they were writing articles for the newspaper, they're writing poems, and that shows up in some of these choruses.
And now they're talking to us today in song through
this
piece.
That's right.
I'm kind of a Lincoln buff, having grown up close to New Salem. My hometown of Petersburg was even surveyed by Lincoln. And so I grew up with Lincoln history, and so it's all makes it even finer for me.
A brand new piece for a now 10-year-old organization, the world premiere of Songs of Freedom, Hope, and Destiny. Dr. Randall Faust of Western Illinois University, Susan Shoemaker, directing the chorus.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
An interview this past April about Songs of Freedom, Hope, and Destiny by Dr. Randall Faust. Always interesting to listen to a little bit of regional history during this week when we think about American history, Independence Day week coming up. I'm Ken Zonley. Join me again for Performing Arts Gallery.